Welcome to LeagueCast.
Hello and welcome to episode 590 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm Nick Cooper. Joining me is Colton Sweat.
It's just me. I'm here.
It's a little solo dolo show.
It's a little duo buo because Aiden's off to go play in the LCS and be a scab.
Yeah, true. He's getting paid big money.
Huge money.
Aiden will be back next week on the show. But in this week, we've got some mid lane challenge updates, some patch notes, quick gameplay thoughts, a behavioral system change that we'll talk about. We'll hear from our friends at NordVPN and then move all the way into probably just roundtable. I don't think we're going to talk about anything competitive league this week because I think Aiden wants to talk about the players association stuff and the walkouts and things like that. And hey, maybe we'll see how it plays out before we discuss it. And then we'll jump into roundtable and Malphite. But Colton, how was your week, buddy?
Pretty good. I played, I think, less than five games of League of Legends, but more than two. So that's, you know, an increase.
Three or four.
Yeah, you know, it's an increasing trend. Let's see where I'm at right now. I'm at
your MF was crushing.
D1, 31 points. Now I need to know where Aiden's at to know if I'm one or two. Live on the show. Let's look up. Wait, did he change his fucking name again? Okay, never mind. I don't know what his account name is. I think I'm number two still, because I think he's higher than 31 points. But it's been going pretty well.
Wait, I'm 82. Oh,
you're 82 now? I thought you were down in D2.
I'm at 80. No, I haven't demoted to D2.
Oh well, then I'm probably solidly third place and need to play more games. Mm. But yeah, so that's been going pretty well. I've been pretty much just playing MF, cause I still don't want to like ultra try hard, and I can kind of turn my brain off and play MF since
he's at 48 right now, by the way.
Okay.
His name is Allison Bree.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. I tried to find Owen Weeson.
Yeah, me too.
I did have one ultra pop off game. I had the most useful Melio I've ever had, and like
did he stand 5,000 units behind
he still did only 2,900 damage, but at least in the early lane in like trades it felt like I was doing insane damage because he was like perfectly buffering his like burn buff. So like I would get like the auto, and then I felt like I would he would apply a shield, so when I would auto Q it would like apply the burn twice. I don't know, it just worked really well. Our jungler was paying attention. Their Fiddlesticks kind of ran it down. They had a Fiddle support. There is a clip I showed Trevor, which like it's not impressive when you're that fed, but it was just like they funneled into a choke, and I queued somebody. I queued, I think, their Rengar. And then I like ER'd. By the time my like R got there, the Q had already applied and like one hit the Rengar and the Fiddles. Like the Rengar, I think, was at like 70% and the Fiddles was like full.
Yeah, Ghostblade was super OP. We'll talk about that in the patch.
But I've also been playing some TFT. I'm up to D2. I was one game out of D1 away in there. Also accidentally queued up for a double up game solo. Ooh. But I ended up taking second place, so
I'm kind of shocked that they allow you to do that.
Like I get it. The thing that's most frustrating to me, but I was talking to Chris about this yesterday, is that they added like the ranked tracking for that game mode, but that's the only game, that's the only one that's there. There's only one queue for double up and it's ranked.
Oh, it's
so
ranked.
It's like,
that's strange.
If you want to just like play with a friend and hang out, you just have to be okay with like losing LP.
That's kind of wild.
Like, I mean, unless you're like very close in skill, right? Like, it's like if I just wanted to like have a casual, like, hey Nick, let's play a double up together. Like, and you don't play,
we'd have to.
It's just like, oh cool, I guess I'm just taking a fourth because I want to play with my friend.
That's wild. Yeah, that's wild.
But I do like going to my profile and just seeing all of the Qs are diamond. That's very fun.
That's pretty sick.
I'm very close to them all being diamond one, which I kind of want to be a thing, but then I feel like if I do that, then I kind of also have to just like make them all masters.
Yeah, you got to push for masters.
if they're all D1, I have to push for masters. But I do think it'd be a really funny thing to have like be D1 in every queue, and then just like, oh yeah, I'm the fucking like slacker kid from school who's like, yeah, I get right before master, and then I just stop trying so that I don't have to play decay games. Yeah.
That's so funny.
But yeah, that's about it for my week. I'll hand it over to you. What have you been up to?
Nice. I'm still progressing in my leveling an account. I'm level 25 now, so making good use of that. I realized that the best way to level it is just to get your first one of the day every day that you can. other than that, I guess I'm playing through Ghost of Tsushima still. I feel like I'm getting close to the end. I will actually be off the show next week, traveling for my birthday. But I think you, Colton, will be back in town by the time of the show.
I get in Tuesday afternoon, so I should be able to record. It might just be
So it should be Colton and Aiden next week, and then back to the three of us the week after that. But yeah, I guess that's nothing else really. So we'll get on with the show. In new news, or I guess LeagueCast news, our mid-challenge fan vote is going pretty smoothly. We have one more week to vote. We will announce the final results next week. These are for the champions that you guys are voting for each of us to play individually.
Everyone vote for Zillion.
Colton, you're getting to play Azir and Gragas. They're tied right now. So are you excited about either one of those characters?
Azir, I feel like, is definitely a character that I would enjoy if I played enough of, because I like like control mages, and I think I've played a good amount of like Syndra and Orianna, where it's like about right, like it's where I am, and I'm also like placing resources on the map for me to use. Mm-hmm. I think that those are pretty similar styles. But I've also played a lot of jungle Gragas, so part of me is just like, fuck it, we bomba.
We bomba. Yeah, Gragas, I forgot about him when I was picking the list. Part of me has wanted to go back and remove Vladimir, but that's... that's okay. He's just a little slow.
I definitely think, and I think we've talked about a little bit, that there's going to be some wiggle room on this, that like maybe 2 weeks in, if we've like put 15 games in on a character and be like, you know what? I decided to put this on my list, and turns out I hate it. You know, I don't think we're going to be super hard. At least I know I'm not, and I doubt Aiden would. I'm like, you have to stick to your original ones.
But Akshon on the list, fantastic. That character's so fun. I've been having a lot of fun playing him when I can. Yeah. For myself, Yasuo is winning super hard, so it looks like I get to pick Yasuo as well. Yay.
Nice. Yeah. Aiden.
Which is wild because I don't think he's very good right now. So
hey, just play Yone and say you got confused.
And Aiden, like you were saying, rigging the vote, getting Cho'gath and Pantheon, they're tied. I think both of those characters are really strong.
I don't, like, do our listeners actually know us this well, where it's like they just know Aiden wants like the easy point and click characters, and like they obviously, like, I feel like you would have rather had Yone than Yasuo, but like,
yeah,
you definitely wanted a sick wind bro in your heart of hearts.
Yeah, I did. Yone was my, I think, number four on the list. But so yeah, if you want to sway those votes, it's in our announcements tab. You can click on the link and then submit your vote.
Yeah, I don't know if you already mentioned it, the new patron that we have this week. I think we skipped that.
Oh, I skipped right over it.
So,
yeah.
Hey, congratulations, or thank you more. Not so
congratulations.
Congratulations on giving the opportunity to give us money Thank you. Thank you so much for your support, little PP, our newest patron.
Thank you very much.
So I guess without further ado, should we hop on into the kind of patch notes?
Yeah, so the patch is being delayed by one day, or the patch notes, I'm not sure which, because of the Memorial Day here in the U.S.
So I really like the idea that it's just the notes that are delayed. Oh. They've made all these changes, yeah. But they're just not going to tell you.
They're just not documented. They're just not telling you the values for a couple more days. That's so funny. I would be down for that, actually.
Be such a funny like social experiment with the patch. To like see how people react and be like, yeah, oh my god, these changes to Callista feel so good. And like, we nerfed her actually.
Oh, we actually made no actually, changes. Yeah. This character dropped 5% win rate with no changes.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll talk about this. It's getting maybe a little odd because we kind of have to summarize them on the go. But we will do our best. So Akali. In the buff section, her Q is going up 10 damage at all ranks. Pretty easy.
Azir, potentially in my mid lane pool, is getting buffed. His Q cooldown is a lower cooldown early, scaling down to the same value. His WAP ratio is going up, and the summon range for his soldiers is also going up. So pretty small buffs, but I feel like the soldier range for summoning is probably going to be the biggest of these.
Yeah, it could be. I do think it's a little small. Obviously, when you're adding 25 to a 500 range skill, it's not like super big. But for a character like Azir, who is pretty much at that range 100% of the time, like it could be pretty big, yeah. Ivern, his Q jump logic is adjusted. I believe they changed it to automatically jump to it if you don't reactivate it. There was some change to if you jump to it or not. His W on hit damage applies to allies in the bush. Enemies in the bush are revealed. His shield refreshes if there are no enemies hit with it. His autos no longer miss when the target leaves vision. And that's Callista. Sorry. His E refreshes if no enemies hit, and that's all of the Ivern changes.
Oh, so this huge...
This is not very easy to see.
Yeah, this huge brick of text is all for Callista. Autos no longer miss when target leaves vision. Total attack damage on attack is... It's just her attack damage now.
We did it.
Her auto attack now deals how much attack damage she has. That's wild. Yay. And then they changed her base attack damage to compensate. What? That's so crazy. So her base attack damage is down early, and her actual attack damage value is smaller, but it's going to deal more damage because it's dealing the full AD now. That being said, I think that would then lower the ability on her damage on abilities, but I think they're adjusting for that. Yeah, Q and E damage increase to compensate, health regen changes, base health changes, buffs. E cooldown is being decreased early. What is this? The next one, those are Rek'Sai changes. So yeah,
Big buffs for Callista.
Yeah, big buffs, and she does how much damage she has, because it took them...
What a crazy change.
300 years of game design. 3,000.
I legitimately can't believe. Like, I think it ended up being, like, a fine Band-Aid fix for the character.
Yeah, for 2 years, 5 years, however fucking long.
But it is just so weird that you wouldn't nerf it in other ways and just leave it alone. Imagine like as a new character you had to wait, this character builds attack damage but actually gets less attack damage than every other character. That's weird. Yeah, no.
what they should do is do like the opposite on a character where it's like they have 40 base AD but their attacks do 130% of their AD.
That'd be just stupid. That'd exactly. Be so wild.
It'd be so dumb.
Rek'Sai's up next, getting buffed. The tremors rate, so how often she can detect movement while she's burrowed, is going from 1.5 seconds to 1 second, so every 1 second it'll refresh. The passive max heal is going up as well. Q cooldown will now scale down, to 2 seconds, and the Q reveal duration will be reduced as well. I didn't realize Q. The burrowed Q reveal duration is now reduced.
Up next, we've got
good buffs for her to make room for to compensate the Prowler's removal.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see hopefully Rek'Sai have a role in the game that's not Prowler's.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard because I don't know like what she's going to do better than other characters now, but we'll see.
Up next, we've got Renekton. E cooldown has been decreased by a flat 2 seconds. Ultimate cooldown now scales down when you level it up more, ultimately going from 2 minutes to 1 minute and 20 seconds. And the damage per tick on the ultimate has also gone up. So some nice buffs to Renekton.
Yeah, Twisted Fate, flat W cooldown at 6 seconds now instead of 8 to 6. Now let's move into the nerfs. Aurelion Sol, his E mana cost. His E mana cost is up and his E AP ratio per second damage is down.
Yeah. Up next we got a Mumu. His W base damage per second has been decreased by 6. That from 20 down to 14.
Yeah, that's pretty massive. I think this is a like kind of a revert of the previous buff, but I don't know. That's kind of a big one.
Yes, the percentage is unchanged, so like later game it won't make a huge difference, I guess.
But early game, that's a pretty sizable I guess it's per second, which isn't too bad. It's just you're losing 6 DPS. That's not too bad. Aphelios is Q attack damage per rank. So, you know, instead of abilities, you can put them into stats, going down slightly.
And lastly, Jinx attack speed growth down.
Yeah, the character's gutted. It's detrimental. Unplayable. She's losing. Just kidding. It's not
We've got the Rel midscope, which we talked about, I believe, last show or maybe 2 shows ago.
I don't know if we did.
I could have sworn we talked about it on the show.
Did we?
Maybe not. I mean,
I don't know. We'll just run through it like pretty quick. I don't know if we ever did. So she gets regular attack speed. She gets to steal a little bit. Sorry, it's kind of hard to go through these Twitter links to do it. Okay, so her Q is now her stun, but it's the same as it was before. It was a little poke that destroyed shields and just dealt damage. It stuns now, but it does not reduce... it doesn't heal anymore. She has bonus damage to jungle camps on this spell, because why not? Her W is essentially the same. When you're dismounted, you get some extra attack speed and some range. And while you are mounted, it no longer has a movement speed cap. Oh, I'm sorry. No longer has a movement speed cap when you're dismounted. So it should feel better later and kind of a nerf earlier. And then her E is very different. She passively gains 50 move speed while mounted. And then when you activate it, you and an ally charge. Gaining move speed over 3 seconds, then this is doubled towards enemies or your bonded ally. After 1 second, your next attack or Q will explode for like a ton of damage, and it does again extra damage versus jungle monsters. And then her ult is essentially the same, so moving some power around in her kit, but she looks tremendously better to play already. And Jungle Rel on the PBE was quite a menace to behold.
Yeah.
So be careful for that.
Yeah. Onwards into some system buffs, which are really just all item buffs or at least adjustments. The damage amplification from Duskblade is going to you the damage amp is increased. And it happens at a lower HP, or I guess a higher HP threshold.
Mm-hmm.
So that execute damage scales up a little bit earlier for you and is a higher cap now.
Yeah. So good change, I think. I think you kind of need it to be to be better than it was, at least for the damage aspect. I think the untargetability aspect actually is a really good change, by the way, compared to the invisibility. Kraken Slayer, its damage type is going to physical, and it will have some ratio adjustments. It should be an overall buff for characters who are able to build some armor pin. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think that'll be really nice for tanks that are building armor.
True.
You know, to like not get magic shredded because the Kai'Sa has a fucking Kraken Slayer and a Rage. Or no, well, it's not called that.
Rageblade, yeah.
Rageblade. I was thinking.
I mean, Rageblade, Shiv, like
the Stormraiser. Yeah, one. I mean,
A ton of different things.
I love when the AD carry who's building crit walks up and does 80% of my health and magic damage. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Up next, we've got Moonstone Renewer. The healing is being increased as well as... So the chain heal is increased and the single healing is increased.
Yeah, so good changes for that. It was a little weak. Navori, the attack damage is up, the ability haste is down, and the mythic passive has been changed to be 5 attack damage instead of 5 ability haste.
And finally, Static Shiv, the energized damage is up by a flat 20, and the ratio at which it hits minions is being increased as well. So, what, plus 30% of that 20 damage buff is an extra 6 damage to minions. So that's nice.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good change. I think the item was already good, so system nerfs. Ardent Censer is the attack speed is being reduced to a flat amount at 20%. It's higher slightly earlier, and a nerf later.
Echoes of Helia, the healing per shard is going to be the same value, but it doesn't start scaling until after level 6. Mm-hmm. And then the damage per shard, it's getting that same treatment where the values... Oh, no, the damage is actually higher late, but again, also, it starts scaling later into the game. So you're going to need to hit higher levels to get the same value out of that item.
It's nerfed later. It's 30 to 180.
Oh, I went the wrong direction. I thought it went from 180 to 200. So yeah, the damage is down, the healing's the same, but again, you're not going to hit those numbers until later in the game.
Yeah. Runon's Hurricane, the on-hit damage has been cut in half from 30 to 15. It's pretty insane, actually.
Gale Force, active damage is being decreased. The crit ratio, instead of being 250% of your crit, is down to 200. And the maximum execute damage has gone from 160% down to 150. So, stats unchanged, just that active execute damage has been decreased pretty significantly.
Yeah, and a big one, Yomu's bonus lethality is being reduced, haste is being reduced, and it would take more distance per stack to get to 100 stacks again.
Mm-hmm.
So big nerfs to Ghostblade.
And finally, Stormraiser. The attack damage is being decreased by 5. The energized damage is going to lose 10 base damage and 5% total AD ratio.
That's really big. It I felt like that was one of the very few good like single item spikes for AD carries. So I'm not... not quite sure what AD carries are going to build now, if not
yeah,
that.
It's tough. So, right, like with 5 less AD, 10 less base damage, and 5% less ratio, it's going to be doing like 30, 40 less damage per proc when you get it if you go first item.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, significant, but I think it'll still be playable. I think the people who are rushing it still can, but it mm-hmm. might be more of a decision. Which that's always to me what I want to see with these items is like, all right, if you've got this rotation of energized items, I want there to be a choice between like which ones do I get or at least which one do I go first.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, for AD carry items, it's always going to be which one is mathematically the best option. Mm-hmm. It feels like a class where you're not really going to be able to to present. You know,
everyone knows that 80 carry players are really good at math, and they know that 20% crit strike means 1 in 4 autos.
Exactly. So that's it for the whole patch. It should come out this week, probably one day later than usual. We have a quick gameplay thoughts. This one was kind of, I feel like something that we didn't need to touch on for too long, so I'll just kind of go over it really quickly. If you're interested in seeing how they went about the crit item changes, assassin changes, and support item changes, as well as the early game changes, definitely click on this because it'll kind of outline their thought process and why they made the changes that they did.
Yeah, you guys,
but I don't think it really is anything for us to to talk about.
You guys probably don't get the joke because in our notes document, it's just a link to Amazon.com for a Magic 8 Ball. That's how they make their badges.
Yeah, it's just ChatGPT. Yeah. How should we balance the game?
they just feed ChatGPT with a Magic 8 Ball. And that's how they
developed. Something that I would like to talk about, a devlog on behavioral systems came out earlier this week. And essentially, in the next few months, Riot will be restricting ranked play for players who have been punished by systems. This is for disruptive behavior, including intentionally feeding multiple AFKs, severe chat abuse, you will be restricted from accessing the ranked queue and will need to play in other queues to re-unlock the ranked queue. How do you feel about that?
So, part of me wants to believe that this will do the intended thing and I will be able to play solo queue without getting flamed as much. I was complaining a little bit in the Discord today because a game where bot lane went very poorly. We had I don't know if it was the game that I had the Senna support. I think it might have been a different one. No, yeah, it was the one where I had a Senna support. Like, we got camped. She brought us in for a really shitty trade early that got Kai'Sa a 2-kill lead. And we were against Blitzcrank, so it was like Senna into Blitzcrank is just an absolute dog shit pick in my opinion.
I'm going to use my platform to say, please only pick Senna as a counter pick into
Enchanters. Yeah, don't blind pick Senna.
Please don't blind pick Senna.
So anyway, yeah, and then like this guy was flaming me for being a Jarvan one trick. God, it's so annoying where it's like, yeah, it's my most played character this season. I haven't played Jarvan in like 3 months, my guy. Maybe not 3 months. I don't think I've played Jarvan in like at least 2 months. And like my mastery on MF is way higher and my win rate is way higher. Get these people out of rank. I don't think it's going to do that. I think probably what's going to happen is that it's going to increase toxicity in normal games and that these people are just going to move on to alt accounts where they care even less and continue being toxic. But we'll see. Hopefully there will be some kind of improvement. I don't think
it's very interesting because I think on paper this is a really good change. If you're toxic, you shouldn't get to play the mode that makes people more toxic. And I think like overall it's going to it's going to be like a positive change over the long run. But I do understand the frustration of people who exclusively play non-ranked modes and don't want those people to just be moved from ranked to normals or ARAM or whatever, right? Like it's not ideal. That's not an ideal scenario for the players there, which I super understand. So I'm not really sure. I do think it's going to be positive overall, but we'll have to see how it works out.
Yeah, I'm interested to see results. I mean, again, every time there's a change to try and like reduce toxicity and improve the behavioral systems, it's always like my immediate thought is like, okay, that sounds good on the surface. Let's wait a week and a half to find out how people are abusing this system. And that's the other thing, yeah. Is like I'm very much worried that like I have not received like a chat restriction or like a warning or a ban since season one, mm-hmm. when I got banned because Warren and Henderson reported me in a game that we were queued up in together. And I didn't get the Santa Baron icon because of it, so fuck them in particular, but not salty about it at all.
I'm only using Santa Baron.
But yeah, like my immediate worry, and I guess it would just put me into like regular normal queues, but like if it instead created like the toxic queue and the like honorable queue, if it did that, then it would definitely be bad. Because those would just like get so much worse.
Yeah, it would. It would.
But yeah, so we'll see how that goes. Hopefully it will keep the bad actors out of our game and leave us on a safe Summoner's Rift to enjoy the game in. You know what? Else can keep bad actors out and let you enjoy your online activities? NordVPN.
Oh, sorry. What?
What a great transition from me, Colton, who's reading the NordVPN ad. They've been supporting us for many months now. They offer a really great product. You can get it on your phone, laptop, desktop. I think you can even get it on your TV, basically anywhere. You can connect to servers all across the globe, all across the country, super fast, super easy to set up. And all of that is going to be available to our listeners, the exclusive link nordvpn.com/leaguecast. If you do a purchase of a 2-year plan, you're going to get 4 bonus months for free on top of that, as well as getting a big discount on the monthly subscription for that. Again, if you go to nordvpn.com/leaguecast, you're going to get that big discount, 4 months of bonus, and all of that is backed by Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. One more time, that link is nordvpn.com/leaguecast.
Hell yes. Thank you, Nord. I almost said thank you, LeagueCast. Thank you, LeagueCast. Cool. So we're going, I think, straight into roundtable. Last week's question was, what is a champion you love the gameplay of but hate the theme or design? On Twitter, Andrew said, Annie. She's my main, but something about playing her makes me feel weird. And whenever I tell anyone that doesn't play the game that I play a little girl that's a mage, they find it odd. Sir Fishy said, Qiyana. I just cannot stand her attitude. Abstruse said, as much as I hate the character design of Seraphine, I think her Sona 2.0 kit is an improvement on the OG. Her identity in League is so flat, but I think there's inspiration in her Legends of Runeterra artwork. Unbleached roots, mechanical prowess. I can see a better character where she works with Echo's Firelights against corruption in Piltover and Zaun. Her musical performances serve as a distraction, and her hoverboard gains a dual narrative purpose. Over on Discord, we had Shark say, Rumble, I hate Yordles, but his kit is so fucking cool, and the Gurren Lagann references make me happy. Fizz, Trollpull is a very cool ability, but he was retconned into a Yordle, and I begrudgingly continue playing him. Nico, this opinion is more from before her rework, as I haven't had a chance to play League Prop Hunt yet, but her kit itself is very strong as a weird, different kind of mage, and I recommend it to friends when they want to try something new. However, I hate everything about Nico's personality, and her player base is so cringe. He who, funny, strong tomato,
can
hate
I,
it.
Can I pause Big you Mike's... real quick? Because him saying League of Legends Prop Hunt made me think that obviously we can't do this because Riot wouldn't let us have like custom game modes where we can do what we want. But, like, we need a game mode where we can go into a custom game and it's 5 people as Nico and they just all stay level 1 and there's, like, one champion hunting all of the Nikos and you're just trying to be the last one alive.
That would be really fun.
I feel like that'd be such a funny game mode. And, like...
Yeah, I think it would be,
like,
too.
You have to, like, play the risk of, like, okay, if I'm in the lanes, like, to absorb the experience, then I'm at higher risk, but then I also maybe can get away if they do find me.
Yeah, you can live a little bit longer.
That'd be cool. A fun custom, if only that was possible.
It would be. Too bad it will never happen. Big Mike says, Yorick, necromancer that throws ghouls and does big Q damage is cool, but man, his lore and design are awful. Interesting. And finally, another one from Discord. Loki says, as sad as it is, Sona's lore is so lame. A mute orphan musician sounds like a bad D&D backstory for a bard. Her gameplay is fun, though. Her whole existence to make her team live longer and deal more damage. And then Casey Stranger said, Seraphine, I wouldn't mind it so much if they didn't go for the shallowest version of the pop star theme in her initial release. And I main the champion, so... and this week's roundtable question, what new build slash champ have you been trying since the item update and why? Colton, what new build and why is it Lethality Misfortune?
It's Lethality Misfortune again, but I'm buying Collector now. I never used to buy Collector before. I am now, and I'm leaning more into Lethality. Before, I would really go like Eclipse, Muramana, and then just crit from there. Whereas now I'm going more like 3-4 items into just the straight Lethality route because those got big buffs. It's good mainly because Duskblade was overtuned or Ghostblade was overtuned. I think it'll still be pretty good. It fit the same role it kind of had before, except for it spiked a little bit faster. And could snowball a little bit quicker as well. But it's just been Lethality Misfortune.
Nice. I've been playing some magic damage action. I don't know if it's good. I don't think you should go it. I don't think it's as optimal build. But I've been really enjoying like Stormraiser and Shiv and Rapid Fire Cannon, Rage Blade, maybe even an Asher's Wit's End if you can fit it in, and just kind of dealing as much mixed damage as you can. I don't think it's like crazy good, but the items are really fun to use, and you deal a lot of damage very quickly, which is always fun. So if you want to send in your roundtable answer, you can send it to us, mail@leakcastpodcast.com, or on our Discord or Twitter at LeakCast.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's move into mail fight. The first email is from Pedro, a.k.a. Good to Know. Hey, guys. It's Good to Know here from the EUS server. Been a big fan of the show since some time now, and this is my second email. When I was listening to the last episode of the podcast, a sentence from Aiden sparked a little idea in my head when he said he was a cheap item connoisseur. The idea of the challenge comes from a fantasy league ideology where he has 10,000 gold to build the best 6-item build for a champion. If components count or not, I will leave up to you. I will start by challenging him to do Tahm Kench and Zed, my main champions. Keep up the awesome work and sorry for any bad English. I'm from Portugal. Big hug for everyone. Good to know. Hey, your English was fantastic. Boy, that would be really fun. I think you have to be able to include... some component items, otherwise it would be just whatever 3-item spike is the best for your character, but I think there could be some real innovation into doing that. Maybe we can do that for a like a community challenge or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think part of this as well though to me is I feel like there's a very like cheap solution to this, and that's just going like a support item plus wardstone for all of these builds, because that's only like 2,000 gold or something like that, and you do get a lot of stats from the wardstone because it's just like plus 12% or 15% to a bunch of stuff. I would probably ban that combination for the sake of like coming up with interesting stuff.
Yeah, I think so too, because that would be kind of a not very fun math to do.
Yeah.
Alright. Thanks, Good to Know.
Next email from Nathan. Can you guys do a quick breakdown of how move speed is calculated, stacks, and is soft capped without getting lost in podcast math, or is it not possible? Backstory, I read on r/Viego mains that Stridebreaker and Gale Force both feel really nice now and both give movement speed buffs. I tried Stridebreaker and it actually felt amazing, better than Triforce. In that game, I got the blue jungle pet and ended up going Wit's End, Black Cleaver, and Bork, all of which apply various movement speed bonuses, some flat, some percentage, and some stealing move speed. We ended up getting Cloud Stole on top of that, and long story short, I was ridiculously fast. If I dipped into a bush and triggered Blue Pet, I could approach 700 move speed. Got me thinking that in that scenario, with that build, I wasn't sure if some of the speed on my items was being canceled out by the speed of my other items, similar to the way that slows don't stack. If you can't get into it without reading out math, don't worry about it and just don't read the email, but I was curious if you could break down the rules of move speed in a simple way. I just checked the replay, and in a bush with my E, I hit 748 move speed just running around the map, not damaging champions. It's not some cheese build. These are all good items on Viego, even if you didn't read it. Try it out. It's okay. So very high level.
I pulled up the only ones that matter for this discussion, I think.
Okay.
The movement speed caps. So anything below 415 move speed is fully applied. So if you buy boots for your character and it gives, I don't know, like, what is it, 25 move speed? As long as that move speed is, as long as your character's move speed isn't greater than 415, you always get 25 move speed. Otherwise, from 415 to 490 move speed, anything you purchase or apply to your character or whatever, gets multiplied by 0.8. So if you have, let's just say 100 move speed and it puts you in that range, it's only going to give you 80 move speed, as a way to soft cap it. And then anything over 490 is multiplied by 0.5. So you only get half of that. So if you were doing the math and expecting it all to be full with no soft caps or anything like that, you would have gone much faster. But otherwise, you know, it does have some, I'm not going to say diminishing returns because I don't know if that's accurate, but definitely like reduced effectiveness at higher move speed.
Yeah, so your movement speed buffs are all great and they'll stack together just fine up until you hit that 415 movement speed, which I didn't know that was the number. I knew it was a little bit over 400. But yeah,
I just looked it up.
I knew it was near 400 from just playing. Yeah. But again, yeah, after that point, you know, if let's say I have 415 move speed and I get plus 10%, I'm not actually going to get 10% of 415. I'm going to get a little bit less than that. Or if, let's say, for whatever reason, like I had 415 move speed because of Cloud Soul and my base move speed, and I purchased boots that's plus 25, I might only get like plus 22 from them because, again, that's gonna it's gonna reduce it a little bit. That being said, movement speed is still super good, and getting more than that, it can be very, very effective.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that, you know, Hecarims take Phase Rush and, you know, the everything, all the movement speed items are capped at like a bonus 100, you know, for dead mans and things like that. So, yeah, it sounds like a fun build. And I do think Gale Force is better than we've given it credit for. Thank you, Nathan. Carlson said, hi, I wanted to chime in on the discussion about Gale Force's place in the Mythic lineup. I think they should double down on the mobility of Gale Force, decreasing the cooldown to maybe 45 seconds, perhaps even increasing the dash length. This would probably mean you'd have to nerf or remove the damage, but then again, double down on the mobility and the survival through kiting. I don't have the energy to fully analyze this, but the first unintended abusers of that version of Gale Force may be champs like Garen, Darius Rek'Sai, AD Sion, but maybe that would be fine since they'd lose out on their current mythics. Not sorry for the perfectly appropriate length of this email, Carlson. Yeah, I do think the damage maybe needs to be a little bit lower, but I think it's probably really unhealthy to have the cooldown be as low as it is. It's a very, very just powerful tool for characters who don't normally have dashes and maybe remove some of their weaknesses that otherwise should exist. You know, you should, if you get onto a Jinx, you should be able to kill her because she has, you know, the potential to just wipe the rest of your team if you don't lock her down then. So I don't think it should be like a damage mythic, but I definitely don't think it should be like up for every single team fight, I guess. How do you feel?
I don't think it should be as low as 45 seconds. That seems a little bit too low. And I think the dash length is kind of fine. I think it's pretty good where it's at. I would rather have it be more about the mobility than the damage, so I could see them maybe... Yeah, I don't know. Maybe... It's really tough. I'm trying to think of a way to, like, change it that seems better, and I think it's probably in a good enough spot as is.
Mm-hmm.
The only other things I could think of are, like, the damage. Like, if you dash away from somebody, it does, like, less damage. But I still don't think that would really be good, because I feel like that would punish you for kiting effectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Carlson.
Email from Adrian. Heyo, long time listener here, first time emailer. It's Adrian. Just heard on your newest update regarding the mid lane challenge. Love the idea, by the way. And was wondering if you have any thoughts about the parody of the accounts. What I mean is that... I've heard a few times already that the normal game MMR you have influences your starting elo. Do you guys level together, just bots, or hope that the difference isn't too great? Or was this fake news all along? I'd assume bots are too boring and together probably wouldn't be feasible for you guys. For the round table, my pick would be Hecarim. Loved him when he was announced. Awesome visuals and interesting ideas, but the gameplay devolves into either one-shot assassin or someone too tanky who will still murder you, or just be useless instead of some drain tank, which would be my fantasy. So I think we're not doing anything to, like, ensure parity. It really is going to just come down to if we play a decent number of games, it'll level out. Right, like, to, I guess, use a metaphor, if we were all going up the stairs to, like, climb to the top of the Statue of Liberty... It wouldn't really matter if one of us started on, like, step 8 and one of us was on step 3 and one of us was on the very ground floor. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, sure, they do have a little bit of an advantage, but over the course of that, it's not really going to strongly affect the final position. Mm-hmm. And there's really no way to control for that or measure that outside of having all of the game, like, all of the accounts leveled together in the same games. And even then, maybe Riot's MMR formula includes stuff outside of win-loss. Who fucking knows?
I don't think it's that big of a deal, so it'll be all right. But you are absolutely right. It is something that can have some variance and could impact our climb to some extent. But I think we're all kind of okay with it, you know, working that way. Cool. Thank you, Adrian. Our very last email is from Dippy, who says, Nick is right. I do send in some very real emails. So instead of bringing everyone down today, I'm giving everyone a way to feel better about themselves. Oh, I didn't mean it in a way that, like, don't send anymore, but I just was making a comment about the the intenseness of the last one. Something I've learned in therapy is that you are not your thoughts. You are an observer of your thoughts, and you can distance yourself from negative self-talk by giving your brain a name. Let's go with Pistifer, like Christopher. And now it's Pistifer saying, you suck at this game, or whatever negative things you say to yourself. Well, don't listen to Pistifer. I would never take criticism from someone named Pistifer. Doesn't have to be your brain either. Maybe you failed that fight because your mouse wasn't doing what you wanted. Your hand is named Pistifer, and Pistifer was better. If Pistifer was better, you would have gotten that combo just right. Don't feel bad. You did fine. What would you guys name your brains to do this?
Well, our brains are all named Pistifer. I think the problem comes with naming,
it's gonna be
your
hard
hand
to beat that.
Pistifer, because then you're going to get that mixed up. So my hand's name is Pistine.
Oh, very good, very good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean that's pretty good. I always like just goofy names. When we played Dungeons and Dragons last, my bard's name was Jimothy, which I think is just a very dumb name. And I'm sure I'm offending a lot of people.
Yeah, all the Jimothys out there. Nick is coming for you guys. Get in his DMs, man.
Yeah, get on my DMs. But I think Pistifer is too good. But yeah, that's really good advice. It's good to frame it like that, I think. So cool. That'll do it for this episode of LeagueCast. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you'd like to send us an email, it's mailleaguecastpodcast.com. Come watch us on Twitch at KingLardoutBlueBasket and LeagueCastFrost. Tweet at us at LeagueCast. On Facebook, we're LeagueCast. Visit our website, LeagueCastPodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/LeagueCast, and support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeagueCast. Thank you guys once again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Next month. Next week. Bye. Same thing. Bye.